From high atop the ice surface here at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined up in the MTS Center press box by my colleague Ezra Ginsberg and producer Michael Remus. Ezzy, the Jets improved to 1-1-1 this year in NHL exhibition play with a 3-2 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. And as much as we said on Sunday that you cannot take too much from the Winnipeg Jets' loss, tonight you can't take too much from the Winnipeg Jets' win, but there were some interesting spots and some bright spots for the Jets, I would say, starting in particular with the play of Michael Frolik.
Absolutely, and we already know that Michael Frolik is a good hockey player, and he's most likely going to play either second or third line right wing for the Winnipeg Jets this year, and he's most likely going to be a top penalty killer because he was a top penalty killer for the defending Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. But Michael Frolik had a terrific game. He scored a nice goal. And, you know, he's the type of guy that can be all over the ice and he can make other players on his line look really good.
Yeah.
And we knew that Michael Frolik was going to be a good addition for the Jets. And this was probably the single best performance by any Jet. There was other guys on the team tonight that had good performances. I thought Eric Tangrady was obviously good with his two assists.
That's right.
And, you know, Mark Scheifele, I actually thought was pretty good, too. He ended up with several shots on net. I don't have the total in front of me here, but I think he had three or four shots on net. And, you know, he probably had a makeup game for, you know, the first game where he was, you know, a little bit invisible. The game, of course, in Belleville. But, yeah, I mean, the Jets defeated the Oilers 3-2. And the Oilers, as we were talking about during the game, were only icing really three NHL defensemen. After Jeff Petrie, Ladislav Smead, and Denis Grebushkov, you really had three guys on the Edmonton Oilers who aren't going to make the NHL this year. Oscar Klefbom is a prospect in the Edmonton system, but he's a long shot to make it. So basically you had, you know, a team that had more NHL regulars in the lineup in the Jets, and the Oilers were icing a you know, an inferior team, if you're an inferior quality of team. And, you know, Richard Bachman played really well, and you got to give him credit. He kept the score, you know, close till the end there, so the Oilers could come back. But it's a good performance. It's a win, right?
Yeah,
so it's better than a loss, but I mean, it's still against a team of mainly guys that aren't going to be playing in the NHL, right?
Sure.
You don't have Nugent Hopkins, who's injured. You don't have Taylor Hall. You don't have Jordan Eberle. You don't have Ryan Smith. You don't have Alish Hemsky, Justin Schultz. Go on and on, right?
So yeah, it's the same thing that was on Sunday, where the Jets played with a weaker lineup, or maybe not a weaker lineup, but a lineup that wasn't filled with regulars. And the same thing the Oilers did today. And the Jets won. You know, they were up 3-0 late in the third period. The Oilers scored two goals in about 23 seconds to make it 3-2. The Jets ended up holding on. But you're exactly right. You know, it was a stronger Winnipeg Jets team against a weaker Edmonton Oilers team. And the Jets, while the scoreboard doesn't matter, did improve to 1-1-1 with the win tonight. Another player that jumped out at me, and I thought, and he's going to be a big player for the Jets. If this is a guy who the Jets are going to rely on, he's going to need to improve his game. And that's defenseman Grant Clitson.
Yes.
Played on the left side with Dustin Byfuglien today. And that's his regular side. And I would expect that very possibly could be one of the Jets' defensive pairings when the regular season begins.
Right.
And I thought the two of them had some decent chemistry. And I thought Clitson played a very responsible game. Again, it's against easier opponents. So let me see him in game 25 of the season against, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. Could be very well be a different story. But for today, I thought this was a guy who played a very decent game on the left side for the Jets' defense.
Drew, and I think that's a good thing, by the way, that Grant Clitson was forced to play a responsible game and will be forced to play a responsible game playing with Dustin Byfuglien. As we know, Dustin Byfuglien likes to jump into the play. He's one of the better offensive defensemen in the NHL. He seems to always be around the top five, you know, point getters for defensemen. And Grant Clitson most likely will be that second pair defenseman on the left side, sometimes the left pairing defenseman on the third pairing. But Mark Stewart could play that role as well. But yeah, Grant Clitson had a good game. And, you know, he was one of the most improved Jets last year. And Grant Clitson, you got to keep in mind that up until last year, was kind of a guy that would come into the NHL, play some games, be a fill-in, be a sixth defenseman.
Yeah.
And that's why he was rewarded with a three-year contract.
Sure.
And, you know, he might not be the best second pairing defenseman in the NHL, but you see him tonight, and he definitely wasn't a liability. I thought the defense played quite well as a whole, actually. Jacob Trouba, I thought, was better this game than he was in the first game. I thought the pairing of Paul Postma and Mark Stewart wasn't bad. I thought Mark Stewart early on was one of the better defensive defensemen. He was laying the body, you know, making hits along with Dustin Byfuglien, who I forget who he drove through the boards in the first period, but it was a physical affair early on in the first period. But no, Grant Clitsam, you know, played a good game, didn't get on the score sheet, you know, that much, but he's not an offensive defenseman. No. If he keeps, you know, the play out of his own end, and does the smart things, lays the body once in a while, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be kind of a shutdown defenseman type.
Exactly. He needs to be responsible. It was Ryan Hamilton that Dustin Byfuglien put through the door. Obviously, he hit him, and the door popped open at the end. Everything was fine, but it was fun to see. We all know about Byfuglien's strength, and we all know about Byfuglien's size. What did you think today? The new and improved, the smaller, the lighter, the faster, allegedly, Dustin Byfuglien. Could you see a difference in his game today versus the Dustin Byfuglien that we'd seen the last couple of years?
I thought he was good, and I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, we know how overblown this whole weight issue was. He clearly lost weight in the offseason, and everyone wants to know what the exact weight is. To me, it doesn't matter if it's 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds. The reality is that his fitness training this past summer was good. He showed a better commitment to that fitness training, and he's lost some weight, and he looks good early on. That was his first game of the year. It's an exhibition game that means nothing, but I think it means a lot that he looked pretty comfortable out there. He got some power play time. He ended up with 5 shots on net, didn't get any points, but as we said, he was laying some body checks early, looked good on the power play. And the thing with Byfuglien is, those 5 shots, Drew, those are quality shots.
Sure.
I mean, he's got a hard shot. We all know that. And there's a lot of weight behind it.
I think that one of the
they're quality shots.
I think one of the big differences for Buff will come, you know, in terms of his weight, will come as the season progresses. And you'll get to see if he has the endurance that, you know, was lacking in the last couple of years, where you would see that he'd visibly be tired towards the end of the season. But if he's able to, you know, keep that weight off and you'll have more energy as the season goes on, I think will make a real big difference for the Jets as they get into game 60 and game 70 and game 80.
Absolutely. It's all about his consistency, his endurance. As you said, Drew, once you're getting into the midpoint, the towards the end of the season, how is he looking when he's forced to play 25 games? When the Jets lose a defenseman, he has to step up and possibly be a number one defenseman.
Because 28 minutes a game.
Exactly. Like ideally, this year, you want Bogo and Enstrom playing your top minutes. And Hainsey's minutes, the Jets, of course, lost Ron Hainsey. He's on Carolina now. But it's going to have to be eaten up by a combination of guys. It's going to have to be Clitsam. It's going to have to be Trouba. It's going to have to be Byfuglien. You can't expect one guy, namely Clitsam or Buff, just to take over those big-time minutes. And ideally, you'd like to see him playing less minutes. But first game of the year, exhibition game, I think he looked pretty darn good. And I think the Jets showed, you know, even though it's, again, just an exhibition game, I thought they played a little bit better defensively as a unit. Towards the end, it got a little bit sloppy. But I thought for about 55 minutes, I thought that they were showing a pretty good commitment to team defense. And as we've said on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, this year, guys are going to have to step up. Rookies are going to have to contribute, namely Scheifele and Trouba, and Setoguchi is going to have to contribute. But the commitment to defense and how they play as a unit is also going to go a long way in seeing if this is a playoff team or not.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with pretty much everything you said there. You know, it was an exhibition game, but you know, you got some positives out of it, and that's, I think, what the Jets wanted going into Thursday night, where they're going to be playing against Minnesota. I'd expect there might be a few more cuts between now and then. If not, then it'll be probably after Thursday's game. But they're getting closer to icing what's going to be, for the most part, their regular lineup. And you know, last guy I want to talk about before we wrap it up for tonight, Andrei Pavlik played all 60 minutes in the Jets net. You know, what do you think of Pavlik's game tonight?
I thought, you know, towards the end there, the first goal was not the nicest goal. The second Oilers goal wasn't the nicest goal either. But I mean, it's his first game in how many months, right? It's his first organized game that means something, even though it's only an exhibition game. But he looked pretty good. I thought Andrei Pavlik was pretty solid. He had a nice save on Yakupov in the third period there, and generally, I thought he played a pretty solid game. I mean, it's tough to fault a guy who only lets 2 goals in on 24 shots. Sure, you might want those couple goals in the third period back, but overall, he played the whole game, and I thought he was pretty solid. So no complaints for Pavlik. And, you know, I don't want to if I hear the fact that he's ranked 25th, ranked 25th again, I'm going to freak out. I know that, you know, on
we'll talk about it on Saturday.
On TSN radio, we like to talk about it, but I think it's pretty ridiculous. I think, you know, Pavlik is our number one goalie. I don't think anybody's challenging that. And, you know, we shouldn't really harp on that. I think the reality is he still makes big saves when he needs to. Sure, he's going to have to steal some games. But I think, you know, for the most part, he's pretty solid in net.
Before we wrap it up for tonight, just a point of interest. Evander Kane missed the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. Apparently, he was fighting some stomach cramps. It's exhibition, so obviously no sense in putting any sort of risk out there. So Evander Kane, if you were wondering why you didn't see him on the ice or you didn't hear his name in the last 5, 6 minutes of tonight's broadcast, he had some stomach cramps that he was dealing with. Sounds like he's going to be okay.
I'm pretty sure Remus was struggling with some stomach cramps after that second hot dog in the second intermission. But
that happens every
hopefully, I think he'll be all right.
I think that happens every game, though. That's not restricted just to tonight or anything along those lines. Anyways, that's it for the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Recapping the Jets, 3-2 victors over the Edmonton Oilers. For my colleague Ezra Ginsberg, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. We'll be back Thursday night when the Jets play the Wild with another Illegal Curve post-game podcast.